holiness of mind, counting other better yourselves, being a servant. He gave Jesus as the example. And if you want to have joy, become a servant. Because when you're proud and jealous of your position, you're not going to have joy. Now in the third chapter, which we'll talk about today, he says, don't let things, anything, stand between you and your joy. Get rid of all the things, anything that would hinder your joy. Physical possessions, your religion. Paul's going to talk about his religion. Get rid of all that stuff that gets in the way of your joy. Jesus said in Luke 12, about verse 15, he says, take heed. Keep yourself from all covetousness, for a man's life does not depend on the amount of things he possesses. In fact, Jesus said a couple of chapters later in Luke, in 14:33, he says, whosoever therefore renounceth not all that he has, he cannot be my disciples. Renounce all that you have. That means everything. God does not need your money. God does not need your things. What God wants is you. But God knows if he gets your money and your things, he gets you. Because your heart is where your treasure is. God says, give it all to me and you'll have great joy. Philippians 3. I broke it down into three areas. True circumcision, 1-6. True treasure, 7-16, and true glory, 17-21. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, we'll read verse 1 through 6. He says, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not irksome, but to you it is safe. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinks to have confidence, I yet more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. As touching zeal, persecuting the church. As touching righteousness, which is of law, found blameless. Finally, brethren, to write the same things to me is not irksome, to you it is safe. Preachers and teachers, never fear in saying again the same thing you've already said. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 1 through 11, he talks about our great salvation in Jesus. And when he gets to verse 12, he says, wherefore, I will be ready always to bring you in remembrance of these things, though you already know them. So Paul said, I'm writing the same things to you. We need to continue to say the same things that are right things. And then he says, in verse 2, beware the dogs. The dogs. In Thailand, they don't even say the word dog without saying excuse me first. Because it's a dirty word. Beware of the dogs. You know those mangy things. They run around the streets and Thailand don't have a hair on them. Just mange is eating them up. They're dogs. They're disease carriers. They're pests. Beware of the dogs. He's talking about false teachers, as we'll see later. Beware of the evil workers. He's not talking about fornicators, murderers, or adulterers, or thieves, or liars. He's talking about people that take your joy from you. He's talking about basically the Judaizers, of which he was one. He says they're evil workers. Listen, anybody that takes your joy is an evil worker. Because Jesus came and God sent him for us to rejoice in our salvation in our Lord Jesus. We have some people who have the ministry of depression. And people that depress us, Satan is using them. Get rid of the evil workers, he says. Beware of the concision. The word concision means to mutilate. These Jews brag about being the circumcision. God says, you're the mutilators. And it's the same thing as Paul used in Galatians 5, verse 12. He said, I would that they that settle you would even go beyond circumcision. He says, I'm not talking about cutting off a little bit of the flesh. He said, I wish they'd go beyond circumcision. English is always nice. It doesn't translate things very well. That word means to cut off in Greek or to castrate. Paul says, listen, they talk about being the circumcision. I wish they'd just go ahead and mutilate themselves. That's what these people are. They're mutilators. And then he tells us who the circumcision is. That's the concision. Who's claiming to be the circumcision, he says, listen, those that are circumcised, truly circumcised, what's our circumcision? Colossians 2, 11 and 12. He says, in whom we were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh and circumcision of Christ. How? Having been buried with him in baptism, wherein we're raised together with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When we were baptized into Christ, that's true circumcision. He says we are the circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God. It's in the Spirit of God that we worship. That worship is not the word sometimes we think of worship. That word is the same word that many times is translated service because it's talking about your whole life given to glorify God. It's the same one used in Romans 12, 1, where Paul says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable worship or service. It's talking about your whole life. We worship in the Spirit of God. You know, Jesus told the woman, John 4, 23, the hour is come and now is when the true worshiper worships the Father in spirit and in truth, for such the Father seeks to be his worshipers. The Father is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. He says we worship in the Spirit of God. We glory in Christ Jesus. We're the greatest braggers in the world. I can hunt better than you, fish better than you, jump higher than you, dive deeper than you. I got better grades than you, and my father can whip your father. We glory about everything. Paul says, Galatians 6, 14, far be it for me to glory, save in the cross of Christ for which I was crucified unto the world, and the world was crucified unto me. He writes to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 and 2. And he says, brethren, when I came unto you, I came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, testifying to you the gospel of God, but I determined not to know anything amongst you save Christ Jesus and him crucified. The circumcision glories in Christ, not in what we've done. Jesus is the only thing. The circumcision, the true circumcision, has no confidence in the flesh. No confidence. We're trained from the time we're born to believe in ourselves, trust in ourselves, and we will do it ourselves. The writer of Proverbs says, Proverbs 3, 5, trust in Jehovah with all your heart, and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will guide your paths. Jeremiah states it in 10:23, O Jehovah, I know the way of man's not in himself. It's not a man that walketh to direct his steps. We are the circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Then Paul tells, if anybody in this world has anything to have confidence in the flesh, Paul said, I am number one. If anyone has anything to boast, I could boast. Circumcised the eighth day, according to the commandment of God. The stock of Israel, the chosen nation among all the nations. A Hebrew of Hebrews, where he was a Benjamite, of the tribe of Benjamin. The first king was a Benjamite. They were great warriors. He said he has everything to brag about. According to the law, he was a Pharisee, the most strict people, the most righteous people. That was their goal anyway. We know there's a bunch of hypocrites. But their goal, if they did what they said, they were the most righteous people there were. He says he was so zealous for his belief that he killed Christians. And he was found blameless according to their law. And then he tells us what true treasure is. In 7 and following, we'll read the text first. He says, howbeit. After all this bragging, he says, howbeit. What things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them but refuge, that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own, even that which was of law, but that which was through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God by faith. That I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed unto his death, if by any means I may obtain unto a resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already obtained or already made perfect, but I press on, if so be I may lay hold on that for which I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold. But one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, I stretch forward to the things that are before. I press on to the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, as many as are thus minded, that are perfect, be thus minded. And if anything other, God will reveal it unto you. Only whereunto you have obtained, by that same rule, let us walk. How be it? What things were gained to me, these have I counted loss. Everything he had to brag about, he counted as loss. He gets rid of it all. Everything. He got rid of his religion. He got rid of his reputation. He got rid of his wealth. He gave it all up. Count all things for loss for Christ. Yea, verily. I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. The excellency, that word means the supreme greatness, the surpassing greatness. He says this is greater than anything you can have. He says you got your choice. You can either have the knowledge of Christ or you can have dung, whichever one you want. You can't have both. He said, I gave up everything for the excellency. You remember back in chapter 1, verse 9. That was his prayer, wasn't it? He says, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and discernment, so you can approve the things that are excellent. He says, the most excellent thing is the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and do count them but refuge. Now, the word refuge, again, is one of those pretty translations in English. The word scubalon means the excrement, human excrement. It is that which the body rejects as having no nutritional value, so it just passes it on. Or it is the garbage left on the table that is not fit to eat any longer. You pick it up and throw it in the garbage. That's what the word means. Paul says, listen, everything out here in life is nothing but a bunch of garbage. And Paul, he gave it all up for that. And you say he sacrificed? If you take a load of garbage and trade it for a load of gold, do you call that a sacrifice? He gave up garbage and got everything. He gave up the sorrow and the confusion of trying to be a law keeper, as a Pharisee, as a Judaizer, and he gave it all up for peace and joy and salvation in Jesus. We need to consider where truth is. What is good? You know, we talk about, you see a millionaire die. He has this great big funeral and multitudes come to the funeral and everybody wonders, you know, one guy asks another guy, whew, how much did he leave? He was a millionaire. Well, he left all of it. He didn't take any of it with him. And we ought to consider everything he left was a big pile of manure. Because it is of no value to him. No value. We need to decide that which has value to us. He said he gave it all up for the excellency, the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Why? That I may gain Christ and be found in him. Brethren, nothing else matters. If you gain Christ and are found in him, rejoice. Whatever Satan can do, he cannot touch what Christ has done for us. He says, for I have no righteousness of my own, even that which is of law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness for God by faith. Now, all you preachers, the next couple verses give you a 4-point outline that you can preach on for years. He said he gave everything up to gain Christ and be found in him. Because he has no righteousness of his own, just like we. He said that I may know him, point number one. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed unto his death, if by any means I may obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. That I might know him. Listen, he's not talking about knowing things about him. He's talking about knowing Christ. Knowing God. We know a lot of things about a lot of people, but do we know them? 2 Peter 2, I wish we had time to just read from verse 2 down through 11. But in verse 3 says that the deity of Christ, the power of the deity of Christ, has granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through a knowledge of him who called us after his own glory and virtue, whereby he has granted us his precious promises. That through these we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world through lust. Then he goes on, if we had more time. But if he goes on, he says, the things you want to diligently add to your faith, supply virtue, to your virtue, knowledge. He'll go on down and talk about knowledge again. He says, know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. It's the resurrection of Jesus that proclaimed Jesus to be the Son of God. Romans 1, verse 3 and 4. Concerning his Son, who was born according to the seed of David, according to the flesh, but was declared the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul says, I want to know the power of the resurrection. Because the power of the resurrection is the power that raises us from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15. If you have time, read it. 12 through 19, or read the whole chapter. But he starts out, says, if we preach Christ is raised from the dead, how say some among us, I'm in verse 12, how say some among us that there is no resurrection of the dead? For if the dead are not raised, neither was Christ raised. If Christ was raised, we know of a certainty that we are going to be raised. Paul says, I want to know the power of that resurrection. He says in Romans 8:11, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us, he that raised Jesus from the dead will give life unto our mortal bodies through his spirit which dwelleth in us. He wants to know the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. We come to Jesus, we want to be just like Jesus. Paul said, I want to know. I want to fellowship Jesus to the extent of suffering with him. He says in Colossians 1:24, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake and fill up on my part that which is lacking in the affliction of Christ in my body's sake for his church. Peter tells us, for hereunto were you called, 1 Peter 2:21. For hereunto were you called, because Jesus suffered for you, leaving us an example that we should walk in his steps. Even these Philippian brethren, if you remember back in chapter 1, he says in nothing, about verse 28, in nothing being affrighted of the adversary, which to them is an evident token of perdition, but to your salvation, that from God. For it was to be granted unto you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but to suffer in his behalf. It's a privilege to suffer. Paul said he wanted to suffer with Jesus, being conformed unto his death. When we were immersed into Christ, when we got that true circumcision that we talked about in Colossians 2:11, that is when we die. Romans 6:3, following, wish we could read the whole passage there. It says, are you ignorant? As many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. We were buried therefore with him through baptism unto death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we should walk a newness of life. For if you become united with him in the likeness of his death, you shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, the body of sin should be done away and be no longer in bondage to sin. He said he wanted to be conformed unto his death. That is our hope, to be conformed unto the death of our Lord Jesus. Revelation 12:11 says they, Christians, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. And Paul says that's his desire. And to do that, he said that he doesn't account himself yet to have accomplished all this, but he presses on, if so be that he may lay hold on that for which he was laid on. God laid hold on, Christ laid on hold on us to give us salvation and joy. And he says, I want to lay hold on that. Then he says he forgets the things that are behind and he stretches forward to the things that are before. That's an athletic term. He stretches forward. He's like a racer. You've run in a mile, you run 3 laps. The fourth one comes up and you run faster. And when you come around the last bend and you see the end, you stretch forward and you're reaching for it and your eyes are on that. That's the word he uses there. He presses, stretches forward to the goal, the prize, the high calling of Christ Jesus, of God in Christ Jesus. Then he talks about true glory. Verse 17:21. Brethren, be ye imitators together of me, and mark them, and so walk even as you have us as examples. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and tell you now, even weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is perdition, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, whence we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall fashion anew the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed unto the body of His glory, according to His working, whereby He is able to subject all things unto Himself. Beware. Paul says he talks about these people even weeping. These people are enemies of the cross of Christ. But he says, we're totally different. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we wait for a Savior. If we know our goal is heaven, nothing can take our joy. Amen. Satan can do whatever he wants to. Our economy can go to pot. God can destroy this nation like he did Babylon. And we still have our joy because our home is heaven. 1 Peter 1, he begins the whole book of Peter. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, into an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven, who by the power of God is guarded, ready to be revealed in the last time. Heaven is ours. What Jesus is, we're going to be. If anybody here is not in Christ, if anybody here needs to come back to Christ, listen. Bring all your garbage right up here and trade it for gold. And live eternally with Jesus while we stand and sing.